Hey, welcome to the Addiction Show. My name is Sarah Goldberg, and I am your hostess with the mostest. Today I have with me Laura Makey. She is on the Board of Directors for Women in Sobriety. This is another fabulous resource for those of you that are females and seeking alternatives to help support yourself and empower you in your recovery. And I've kind of come across you from time to time through the social media outlets. Thank God for that. You are, it's a secular sobriety. It's an abstinence-based program. It's for women. Your founder is an incredible person. I was talking to you earlier. I believe she's in one of my textbooks. So, and unfortunately, she's no longer with us, but she's here in spirit, and I'm sure she's applauding your efforts. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Shira. I appreciate the invitation to be here.
So let's tell everyone how I saw you at the, actually I wasn't able to attend, but I saw you give a wonderful presentation that really captured the essence and the information that we're going to also be sharing with our audience about Women for Sobriety, what exactly it's about, your philosophy and culture, and the very visceral spirit of empowerment. That's kind of the vibe I got. So you have a lot more to talk about with regard to that, and I want you to talk about the affirmations, because you know what, I have to tell you, I started doing affirmations and they really work. I mean, and I was a naysayer. I was like, that's ridiculous, but they work.
You know, it is funny, the first time you read through them, you know, especially, you know, some of us are very jaded, and the idea that something as simple as the way we talk to ourselves can make such a difference in our outlook on life and in our ability to cope with life and our ability to make choices that support the goals that we have is really remarkable. So, Women for Sobriety, the core of our program are 13 acceptance statements. And it's sometimes called the WFS New Life Program. So you'll hear a variety of different ways to refer to it. The statements are positive affirmations. There are 13 of them, although it's not a linear thing. It's not like you do number one, then you do number two, and you work through them in a sequential order. They are kind of holistic in that they all apply it in different ways at different times. So the first statement is the only one that deals kind of directly with addiction issues, and it is, I have a life-threatening problem that once had me. I now take charge of my life. I accept the responsibility. So we'll sometimes talk about our LTPs, our life-threatening problem. And for most of us, it is chemical addiction of some sort, drugs and alcohol primarily. But we can also use the program as we grow in our new lives. We get other kinds of life-threatening problems, problems that threaten the quality of our life, let's say, or that threaten our livelihood. And so the program is adaptive in that whatever kind of situation you're facing on a daily basis, you can adapt the program to fit the type of problem you're dealing with. And again, for most of us, at least in the beginning when we first start using the program, that is our addictive behaviors with drugs and alcohol in particular.
So do you also deal with process addictions, or are you more chemical?
The program will work for any addictive behavior, really any maladaptive coping mechanism, so certainly any sort of process addiction.
Okay.
Our face-to-face meetings that we have are limited to women with chemical addictions, but our online platform, our online community, welcomes women with any sort of addictive behaviors, process or chemical.
So now you're based in San Diego, but the Women for Sobriety movement started in Quakertown, Pennsylvania?
Yes, that's where Jean Kirkpatrick, the founder of WFS, was from, Quakertown, and so that's where the headquarters of the organization still are. We have meetings all over the United States and in several foreign countries, and then we also have a very large online presence, a community of about 9,000 women right now. Use our program and communicate online, have meetings online, and support each other 24/7.
That's really incredible. When I first became sober, that was really such an olive branch of peace in my heart when I realized I didn't have anyone to call, because either I burned bridges or I couldn't call someone at 2:30 in the morning crying about how am I going to stay sober. So I did jump online, and there were people there to kind of help me get through that. And I'll never forget that moment where I was like, not, and you know, I couldn't see. I was crying so much. My eyes were all, I just looked like such a mess. And I felt exactly that way, and I felt lost. So it's such a great opportunity to talk to someone online, and they're there. It's really incredible to get a group going where it's all about you, because they know you're in a crisis situation.
Right. And for a lot of women, you know, getting out of the house and showing your face at a meeting is a huge step to take. I remember how uncomfortable it was for me to worry about who I might see and who might see me and that kind of thing. So being able to access group support with the anonymity of the internet is another great resource, especially for women that have so many other obligations, you know, childcare and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can have a meeting, you can go to a meeting in your own home while other things are going on. And so that also makes it much more accessible for many women.
I love that. And also it's kind of try it out before you commit. So it's a way to ease into it, and just to see if it's the right fit for you, to explore it, to be. Sometimes that anonymity works in a great way, where you're more comfortable asking specific questions as opposed to just being pleasant in a meeting, especially if you're new.
I also know that there are women who log on to our website every day who never participate. You know, they don't post, they don't go to chat, they just read. And I hear from them behind the scenes, you know, they've been sober a year, they've been sober 2 years, you know, they're using the program, but they aren't participating in a way that is visible to the rest of the community. But that's fine too, you know, whatever works for you, whatever you need. And I guess that's something else, Shira, that I want to make sure people know, is that, you know, Women for Sobriety, those of us that use it, we love the program, and it has obviously worked very well for many thousands of women over the last 40 years, but we recognize that it's not going to fit everybody, and that you might find some tools that are useful for you in WFS, and you might find tools in other programs that are helpful for you. And, you know, we just want everyone who is looking for sobriety to be able to find it in whatever way they can.
I think that's really wonderful and commendable. I think a lot of the alternative, well, I guess that's what we've all be lumped into, the alternative non-step communities, where we're very open to just providing you with the tools and resources you need to help you with your sobriety, or and just to have that abstinence in whatever means that you find it. Mm-hmm. That's comfortable, accessible, and, you know, that's relatable to you. So, again, thank you for reiterating my point.
I think you wanted to talk a little bit more about the statements in depth. And so after the acceptance level, which is the first statement that I just mentioned, the second kind of stage of recovery is what we call removing negativity. So it's beginning to clear out those negative thoughts, feelings, emotions, memories from your mind, so that you can make room for new things. So the statements that go with this level include: negative thoughts destroy only myself. The past is gone forever. And my personal favorite, which is: problems bother me only to the degree I permit them to. That statement was probably my hook into WFS. A lot of times we hear from women that, you know, they read the 13 statements and there's one that just is a light bulb for them. And for me, it was that statement, problems bother me only to the degree I permit them to. The idea that I could choose how much to be bothered by things, that I had a choice in how to react to things, that if I counted to 10, I could choose a response rather than immediate reaction, was just eye-opening. In 35 years, it had never occurred to me not to just do a knee-jerk reaction to everything that was presented to me in my life. So that was really one of the statements that hooked me into WFS and that I still work on a regular basis. So that's the second kind of stage, if you will, in applying the program, is starting to work on removing negativity from your life.
Mm-hmm. And it really makes sense. I always hear you wouldn't talk to someone you dislike that way, but
right,
we talk to ourselves in self-talk. I mean, thousands of times a day. I'm a loser. I'm stupid. If you would talk to anyone else that way, you would feel terrible, even if you said it once. But, you know, it's like we need to be as kind to ourselves as we are to everybody else.
And we don't take the advice we give our girlfriends. You know, if a girlfriend came to you with the problems that you're having, you know, you would have all these helpful things to say.
Yeah.
We don't do that for ourselves. You know, we don't take our own advice or any of that sort of thing. So the next stage in the program is new thinking. So we have kind of started to deal with removing our old patterns, the negative stuff, and now we need to have new information, new ways of thinking. And the two statements here are, I am what I think, and I am a competent woman and have much to give life. And this is, I am what I think is really the core of the entire WFS program. Jean Kirkpatrick had said that, you know, if you only need one statement, that's the statement that all the others come from. And the fundamental idea is that our thoughts create our reality. So what we think about is what we bring into our lives. And it's very much a kind of a metaphysical way of approaching life. Very much in tune with some of the more recent things like, you know, The Secret or the drawing things to you. So Jean was a little bit ahead of her time in terms of adapting some of the metaphysical authors that she read into her recovery.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a lot to do with behavior modification or cognitive behavioral therapy.
Definitely a cognitive behavioral approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn now to change our thinking. And part of that is recognizing how powerful our thinking is. So we need to really believe in the power of our thoughts in order to use our thoughts to change our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next stage would be to build those new attitudes. And these are the statements that sometimes some women look at and think, oh, gee, you know, so a little Pollyanna-ish, if anybody remembers Pollyanna. But these are statements like, happiness is a habit I will develop. Life can be ordinary or it can be great. Enthusiasm is my daily exercise. So these are new attitudes, new ways of approaching life, looking for the positive in your day-to-day life, finding enthusiasm for all those things that you do, approaching life with an attitude of positivity and gratefulness and gratitude that then will come back to you.
And it really does. I think how we set up, how mentally, you know, I believe in we think, we feel, then we act, or react in my case. Yeah, and those were very, very troublesome times, and it did me no good and just made me feel worse. So, you know, for all of those naysayers that think this doesn't work, it's like, well, I can tell you from experience, thinking the other way did not work for me. It just made me feel more down, more self-loathing, you know, very little self-esteem, and thinking, you know, my thinking changed my behavior and my attitudes and my actions, and it's really a domino effect in a positive direction.
And I think that's one of the reasons that Women for Sobriety can be so effective for women, is that it really does speak to some of the needs that women have in a different way. You know, issues of self-esteem and self-worth, the kinds of shame and humiliation a lot of women feel about their using, or incidents and behaviors that might have been associated with their using behaviors. WFS really does try to address those deep-seated issues and allow women to move and grow beyond that and have a truly new life, leaving all that behind. So the past is gone forever.
Absolutely. And, you know, these things are, we really need to reinforce all of the positives, because we are stigmatized, especially being women and having substance abuse issues. You know, we're looked down on. Like, even in my highlight, which was, you know, a blink on the radar, you know, when I was out, it's like, oh, look at how sad she is. She's all drunk and all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, but when it's a guy, it's like, you know, oh, look, what a crack up, how fun. And so, I mean, the reinforced stereotypes are really prevalent, and that really does weigh on your self-esteem, because you feel like, oh, I should know better. And so there are different ways that that women are affected, mm-hmm. and I think you know, through these affirmations, it really shows that your take on it really is more visceral in its approach, and it can change. You know, so we're not beating ourselves up. We're kind of releasing that and allowing positive energy into our world and our healing.
Part of that is the recognition that the past is gone, that we cannot change the past. We can apologize for it, you know, we can be sincere in our regrets, but we cannot go back and make a different decision about anything that happened prior to this very moment. All we can do is make different choices now and show by the choices we're making today that we are different people, that we have moved past that stage and are now a different person making different choices. And we show by our choices that we have indeed changed. And so that, I think, is another really positive draw for Women for Sobriety, is the fact that we don't tell stories about ourselves much. We don't, you know, talk about the bad old days, or, you know, we don't worry about that, because the mm-hmm. past is the past. Obviously, some women have some things they need to take care of. They might have legal issues or some other things, you know, stemming from their active addiction phase that they need to deal with. But the you know, making different choices in the present is how we show that we are new people.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that point, because I want to make sure that it's clear we're not avoiding our past mistakes, but we're not living it there.
Right.
We are moving forward with the lessons that we've learned, and just taking whatever good we can salvage, and building on something that's going to be more strength-based for us personally.
Some of the things that we often say about the past is, you know, the past is for reference, not residence. You know,
I love that.
It shows us what we don't want to do anymore. It's a map of the places we don't want to go. And we know how we get to those places, so we can avoid that. We're now seeking out new paths to new places we might not have been before. But we have the past as a roadmap to say, okay, nope, not taking that road. Bend down that road again, know where that road leads. Let's try something different. Let's make a different choice this time.
You know, I'm sure you get a lot of emails too, but especially I think it's because it's so close to the holiday season. I've been getting a lot of correspondence with that issue, how when people are in recovery, their friends are like, remember that one time? Or, you know, and it's constantly dredging up the past. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell a couple of people, you know, that it just makes me feel really uncomfortable. I don't need to remember how disgusting you know, my behavior was, and it just, it feels like I don't want that spotlight to be to be shown in the wrong direction. You know, highlight what I'm doing now and what a better person I am becoming every day through my own effort. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, it's really important for people to feel strong enough so they can tell other people, you know, that is what you said. I mean, you said it perfectly. Say it again about
the past is for reference, not residence.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like it's an uncomfortable situation where someone keeps reminding you. And I just had someone email me. He's visiting with his mother. They used to use together, and now he's clean and sober. And she keeps dredging up all these memories. And he's like, "What do I do?" I think this is very common after sobriety for you.
And we hear it a lot as well. And one of the things that we need to do in building a new life is building new boundaries. So mm-hmm. many of us, when we were actively drinking or using, had no boundaries, you know, or at least no boundaries we enforced.
Right.
So it becomes a very new experience to feel uncomfortable with what someone is saying to you, and then you need to set a boundary about that and say, "I'm uncomfortable that you keep bringing up my past. You know, mm-hmm. I would appreciate it if you would focus on the present and my future." And, you know, and then if not, if the person continues to focus on that, then you need to, you know, have some sort of consequence. You know, if mom, if you're going to keep bringing this up, I'm going to have to go now. You know, we can't, you know, I'll call you tomorrow, you know, or whatever. But setting those boundaries can be very uncomfortable. And for a lot of people, they would rather remain silent in the beginning and let that continue than speak up for themselves.
So I really see it that a lot. Yeah, absolutely. I really see that as a recurring theme in early sobriety, where everything is new. You keep, you know, you're trying to resolve the past, move on, learn all of the tools you need. Boundaries is a big issue for just about everybody I've ever interacted with, and it's really amazing to me how evil we can be to ourselves through our self-talk, mm-hmm. but also how we perpetuate that through letting other people talk to us in ways that make us feel uncomfortable. And we let them because we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. So they walk away, they don't even realize what just happened, and you feel like you got emotionally like punched in the gut. It's like, you have to stop it.
Interestingly enough, the next phase of the statements is the relationship phase. So the first, you know, four levels of growth or stages of growth are all with yourself, and you have to work with yourself quite a bit before you can really start thinking about how you are interacting with others. So the two relationship statements, love can change the course of my world, and then all love given returns. And this deals with how we build a relationship with ourselves as well as how we build relationships with others, that we want to come from a place of caring and compassion, compassion for ourselves as well as compassion for those in the world around us. And then learning that how we treat others comes back to us, and letting go of the need for reciprocity, you know, that that I'm showing love to this person, they better show love to me back. That it's not a one-to-one correspondence, it's more of an attitude and a way that you approach life. That when you are positive and giving to the world is positive and giving back to you.
And you also, it seems the more you're proficient at that, the more you do receive it. It's mm-hmm. just, it really is an energy, I think.
And some of it is just learning to recognize it in the world around you. The things that people do that you might not notice when you are hungover and, you know, not feeling too good and in that nasty kind of place. The person who lets you in on the freeway, or lets you go ahead of them in line at the store, or the young child playing with the balloon that makes you smile. You know, those little things we can find joy in our lives are there. Even when we were drinking, they were there. But we never saw them because we were too wrapped up in other things. So beginning to open yourself up to really being present in the world and being observant of everything that's going on around you gives you much more appreciation for the amount of compassion and caring that exists in the world.
Yeah, your focus is really different when you're sober. Mm-hmm. You can see all of these things.
Exactly. Yeah. So then the final levels, the final level of growth is what we call a new self. And so I am responsible for myself and for my actions. I am in charge of my mind, my thoughts, and my life. And then the fundamental object of life is emotional and spiritual growth. And then this is the only place in our statements where we really talk about spirituality. The WFS program, you know, believes that spiritual growth is important, but how that's defined for each individual member, you know, if that is a religious belief or if it's more a personal spirituality, that's completely left up to the individual. There's no component, you know, that really addresses how you are to spiritually grow, just that you have that as a goal.
I think that's, well, I agree with it, so of course I think that's that makes sense to me. A lot of people think that if you're not, if you're abstinent and secular, then you're anti-something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get that logic. You know, I'm for abstinence and sobriety. Doesn't mean I'm anti-anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if you're in a certain format, and they're talking about certain things, that's where you're going to get your expanded information so you can use it in how you see fit. That's what makes it an individual program for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So to really use the WFS program, the instructions that Jean left us were very brief, very easy, really. She instructs us to get up early. She suggests 15 minutes earlier than usual. The idea is the house is quiet. You know, if you have children, they're not up yet. You know, that you have a little bit of time just for yourself. And spend 15 minutes in quiet contemplation. Read the statements. Read the program book if you'd like. Think about the day ahead. What your challenges are going to be, what statements you think might help you get through the day, and then really set your intention for the day with yourself. And then at the end of the day, before you go to bed, spend a couple minutes reviewing. How did I do today? You know, were the challenges I identified this morning, are those the ones that really ended up being my biggest issues today? How did I do using the statements? What can I do better tomorrow? And so, again, just kind of bookending your day with the program. And as you said earlier, you know, the more you use them, the more comfortable you get with them and the more they become natural to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything that is new seems like a lot of work. I've heard, like, oh, that's a lot to do. But it becomes a part of your day. It becomes a part of your healing process. Mm-hmm. And I think it once you're more solidified with these, it's really an instant resource if you're going in the wrong direction. It can really steer you right back to where you should be to find your own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I call it recalibration. I'll be in a psychology book one day, and that'll be my coined phrase, recalibrate.
Recalibration.
Yeah.
The Goldberg technique.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important that your resource is known, and I mean, it's very well known amongst all of the alternative resources, and I really love how we all kind of empower each other and support each other and, you know, get the message out that there's other options.
There are, and again, if Women for Sobriety is not the right option, continue to look. That's the other thing is don't give up on trying to find the right program for you, the right mix of things for you. And I also wanted to say that although Jean did design the program specifically for women, we do have men for sobriety literature. We have some materials, and so if the positive thinking, if there's a guy out there who is kind of interested in this approach to recovery, we do have materials available that have adapted the Women for Sobriety program for men. And so that's another resource out there.
Oh, that's really wonderful. But I really want to emphasize that what she said is what pretty much we all agree on. It's just finding your individual path to sobriety and to keep going in the right direction. That's really our common goal. Mm-hmm. So whether you pick Women for Sobriety, Smart Recovery, Life Ring, there's more. There's Secular Organization for Sobriety, Moderation Management. And they're continuing to grow because they're serving a need and they have a lot of value. So, well, thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Shira.
And I wanted to let people know where they could get more information for Women for Sobriety. Your website's great. You've got a lot of online information. All of the information that we covered today is available on the website, which is womenforsobriety.org.
Correct. And then there's also a link there if women are interested in joining our online community. Mm-hmm. There's information on the main website about how to register for Women for Sobriety online.
And there's also information that can be sent to you if you'd like to start your own Women for Sobriety group and bring it to your area.
So there's information about all of those things on our website. And just a plug, we also have our own annual gathering in June in Pennsylvania. So that's something else that women can look forward to, is getting together with other women who are using the program for a weekend of a lot of fun and growth.
That's wonderful. Just to bond in person, I think that would be just a cherry on the cake.
Yep.
Well, great. So I really enjoyed you. I enjoyed when I saw you at the Smart Recovery Convention. You just do good, Laura.
Thank you, Shira.
Thanks for putting all of that out.
I look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. Thanks again. And this is Laura Makey. She's on the board of directors for womenforsobriety.org. All of the information that we've discussed and a whole bunch more is available. So please check out that website and get involved. It's an awesome community. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.